Good morning, everyone. Oh, now I'm definitely got some volume on. it's great to see you. And last week, Adam started. I wasn't here, unfortunately, because I was running the Great North Run. But I had to get that in there, didn't I? I won't go there. But Adam started off this series on the church and. The church, For Her He Died, wonderful graphic we got, and thanks to Hannah Pereira for putting together these slides for me. I sent her my notes yesterday, and she has produced a lovely slideshow, so that's how it should work. I hate doing slides, and she loves doing slides, so it works well. So we're going to be looking today at the church as a body, and every part of the body being necessary and needed. So last week was kind of introductory, kind of some of the marks of the church and what is the church. And now we're going to look at various specific things going forward. So today it's the church as the body. And 1 Corinthians 12 is the passage. So what we're going to do is we're going to read it before I say too much more because the Bible is the most important thing. My words are secondary to that. So 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, I'll start reading. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honourable, we bestow the greater honour, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honour to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So the church is the body of Christ. That's an amazing statement when you think about it. And if you could just, I've got it here. I'll move it on myself. There's an astonishing verse, I think, in Ephesians chapter 1, just going to a different book of the Bible momentarily, where it says this, and he, that is God, put all things under his, that is Jesus, under Jesus' feet, and gave Jesus as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. When you actually stop, it's a slightly confusing verse, but when you stop and think about it, that is amazing. It's basically saying God put everything under the feet of Jesus. Jesus is the head over everything. He is Lord over the entire universe. He reigns over everything right now. But he also, it says, is head to the church. He gave Jesus' head to the church. And so he doesn't just reign over all things. He reigns over the church. He is the head of the church. And then it says, which is his body. So he's the head. We're the body as the church. So think of like, you know, head. We're the body. The fullness of him who fills all in all. The church is the fullness of Jesus who fills all in all. That's an amazing thing. This hodgepodge group of people is the fullness of Jesus on earth right now. We are the expression, the physical expression of Jesus Christ on the earth today. Not just us in this church, but all the church universal, but that means each individual local church, is the expression of Jesus on the earth as the Holy Spirit works through us. You might say it's a bad expression at times, and a very imperfect expression, which it is, because we're imperfect people, but it's what God has chosen to use as his vehicle, as his means of displaying who he is on the earth. We're his body. So given this significance of the church as Jesus' body, it is vital that we're a healthy body where every part of the body is playing its part. Every part is playing its part. Not just a few people, but every part is playing the part that God has ordained for them. We together are the body of Christ. The church is this united, interconnected whole where what each part does affects the other parts, like a body, like the parts of the body. What happens, like to my heart, obviously, is going to affect the rest of my body. But what happens in various bits of the body affects, it's interconnected. It's a holistic thing. So the church is interconnected where we all affect one another in what terms of what we do and the parts we're playing. And at the outset, I just wanted to come with two things that the understanding the church as a body comes against. So two things that if the church is a body, it comes against two things which can sometimes creep into the church. Firstly, it comes against individualism. Thinking about the church as a body, where all the parts are connected together, can be really challenging in our culture, which is very individualistic. Our culture says you can go it alone, you can do it, you've got what it takes. It's this kind of superhero mentality where, and it makes it all about me. It's about my calling. It's about my future. It's about my purpose in life. Sometimes we even can talk to our children like that. You know, you can do it, and you've got what it takes, and it's about your future. And actually, that isn't at all how we should be thinking as Christians. It's not biblical thinking. The New Testament is written principally to churches, and most of the commands that we take is to me is actually to the church together as the body. And when we think about calling and future, it should be the calling and future of the church that we're a part of principally that we're concerned about, and secondarily about my calling and my future and how that fits into the body that I've been called to be a part of. It's quite a church-centric way of thinking about our lives, but I think that's a biblical way of looking at our lives. You need to be concerned about yourself as well, but it's being concerned about yourself in order to play your part in the body and the calling of the body that God has placed you within. It's impossible for an individual on their own to be the body of Christ. You're just a toe, or you're a lung, or you're an eye, or whatever you want to be. Choose your part. And a toe on its own doesn't do much unless it's part of the body that it's been called to be a part of. Even a toe that's connected to the head, a toe and a head isn't much good either. But that's often how we can think about Christianity. It's about me and my relationship with Jesus, me and Jesus, me and Jesus. No, it's us and Jesus, us and Jesus. It's the body and Jesus. He's the head. We're the body. We're connected together to him, not just me and him. Carl Truman, I think I've used this quote before, but I like it, so I'm going to use it again, says this: far too many Christians have senses of identity that verge on the messianic. Put bluntly, when I read the Bible, it seems to me that the church is the meaning of human history, but it is the church as a corporate body, not the individuals who make up her membership. My special destiny as a believer is to be part of the church, and it is the church that is the big player in God's wider plan, not me. This is why we're doing a whole series on the church, about, I don't know how many sermons, maybe 10 sermons or so on the church, because we think it's so significant that we understand and we grasp the beauty of who she is, who the church is. For her, he died. That's the title of the series. That is, for her, the church, Jesus died. He gave her life for the church in order to present her as blameless and pure before God, because he knows that the church is his. He died for the church, not just for you, but for you as part of the church. God's ultimate purpose in human history is to get a people for himself who will be around his throne, worshipping him forever and ever and ever. Not just a group of individuals, but a people united together, a body. So the idea of church as body is against individualism. It's also against hierarchy. Verse 14, the very first verse we read, says this. I don't know if you can see the picture, but I didn't notice the picture initially until I don't, can you see the faces? Anyway, it's me and Matt, apparently. It is me and Matt. And I'm saying it's against hierarchy, and so we're not the superheroes. It's not about me and Matt or whoever you want to choose. You have to choose me and Matt, but just given we're the elders, you could choose us. It's not about the kind of superheroes up the front. So the body does not consist of one member or one or two members who do the stuff up the front. It consists of many. You are just as valuable in the body as me. Every single part is important. Historically, what happened in the early centuries of the church is that there was this division that was set up between what's often been called the clergy and the laity. In other words, the kind of priests would have been called then, or the vicars or whatever, the bishops, those kinds of people who are up the front, who have all the kind of, wear all the nice clothes, and in those days could speak Latin, and that was important because the Bible was in Latin, and so they're the only ones who could really understand it and teach it. And it was all very kind of hierarchical, where you've got the people who do the stuff, and then you've got the others who just attend. Sing a few songs, hear a sermon, maybe drink a cup of tea if you're lucky, and then go home again. Then next week you come and sit on a pew again, sing a few songs, and it's very much this division between the people out there and the people up here. That is not the Bible. That is not what Christian church is. That is a complete distortion of what we read about and what 1 Corinthians 12 speaks of, where every single part is valuable and playing their part. There are no special people in the church who really do the church ministry. We all do the church ministry. We're all ministers. Call yourself a minister. Minister is just a word for means servant anyway. So call yourself a servant. Call yourself a minister if you want. There is no such thing as important people and unimportant people in the body. The only hierarchy that exists is between the head, Jesus Christ, and the rest of the body. That's the only hierarchy. He is the head, and we're all just a part of the body, playing our part, connected to him, and he is in charge. So the church's body is against individualism, and it's against hierarchy. And now I'm just going to talk about two things from this passage in 1 Corinthians 12 that we need to know and understand if we are going to fully play our part in the body. So I've been saying we all need to play our part. It's not an individualistic thing. It's not a hierarchical thing. We're all needed. And two things, two truths from 1 Corinthians 12 which we need to understand if we're going to play our part. Firstly, from verses 15 and 20, know your part in the body. Know your part in the body. So we'll read the verses again. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. There are many parts. Don't try to be someone else's part. Be the part that God has ordained for you to play in the body. One of the biggest issues in the church is this thing of comparison and competition, where we're jostling for a position. I want to be that part. I want to be an eye. Oh, the eye. I'm so jealous of the eyes. I mean, just look at them. They get to see everything, and they get to kind of have nice color and crazy colors. And it just, the eye is a pretty cool part of the body. I want to be an eye. When actually you're just a little finger. But it's not just a little finger, because I'll tell you what, fingers are quite important. I was spending a lot of time typing this yesterday and the day before, and my fingers were pretty important. And the thing that was behind the scenes was my heart and my lungs. They're also quite important, but the fingers were also crucial in that process. The church is this multicolored, multifaceted, beautiful body which has different aspects to it, different people playing their parts. And when it comes together, when each person knows their part and plays the part that God has ordained for them, it is the beauty that God has ordained for it. There is a body with lots and lots and lots of eyes would be useless. We need every part. Verse 18, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. The reason you're part of this church right now is not an accident. God has arranged you with your backgrounds and your gifts and your personality. Even if you think they're not very good, they are good in the purposes of God, because if he wants those, the story you've got that you bring to this church is crucial, and you need to bring who you are to the body. God has picked you, he's handpicked you and made you a part of this body. I've just been astonished over the last 3 years since we started this church, and God has added to us and grown us, just the increased diversity and beauty that we have in this church. And I can just see, wow, it's that person and that person and that person. And every single person is so crucial. And you might say, well, I don't have the right background to really play my part in this body. I don't really have the right education. I don't have the right skills. The answer is, you do. to play your part, God has equipped you. And he will continue to equip you as he maybe gives you a different part, and that part changes. It's not a static thing. But he has equipped you, and he will equip you for what he calls you to. So very practically, do you know the part that God has asked you to play in this body right now? Because if you don't know the part, that's an issue, because you're probably not playing the part. Like, the first thing is kind of coming to an understanding of who am I? Who am I? Who has God made me to be? And then how does who God has made me to be fit in with this church that he has called me to be a part of? Because in some way, the two are going to connect. And so I'd love, because my guess is, and I saw a few shakes and I said that, asked that question, shakes of the heads. My guess is that some of us, if not maybe a lot of us, would answer no to that question. Do you know the part that God has asked you to play? And so I really love you, if nothing else, to go away from here, seek God, talk to someone else or some other people, maybe in your Emmanuel community. I haven't said this to leaders, but if that could be a kind of question that you kind of bring up in your Emmanuel community maybe this week, how can we help each other find out the parts that God has asked us to play? It might not be a one-off thing, but an ongoing journey. Two questions I find helpful in knowing who God has made me to be and therefore what part he's asked me to play are this. Number one, what are your passions? What are you passionate about? What, when you're doing it, makes you feel most alive? And that might, you might think, well, that's something very unchurchy. Well, everything can be redeemed and brought, most things can be redeemed and brought into, I'm not just talking about what we do on Sunday mornings. It includes what we do on Sunday mornings, but the body is far more than Sunday mornings, Monday to Saturday. Just picking an example, Ben with football, he's passionate about football, and he started many years ago the Emmanuel Football Club, which still trains on a Thursday night, little promo if you want to join. And it's great, because that is Ben using his passion, and which is part of the body, an extension of who we are in this community, and it connects with many, many people who aren't yet believers. So what are your passions? Secondly, what are your gifts? What abilities has God given you? We've all been given abilities. And please, again, you might say it's not a very churchy thing. We need to get rid of this idea that there's this kind of churchy and non-churchy stuff. You can use the gifts God has given you in some way as part of this body. There are ways. We might need to talk about it. Might need to be creative, but we want to do new things. We want creativity in this body. We don't just want to do the same things all over and over again. And if you just rely on my gifts, we'll get the same things over and over again. So let's get the other gifts involved as well. And a plea to those who are relatively new to this church, or maybe very new, please don't stay around on the fringes for a long time. Because God, as soon as you feel this is the church that God has called me to be a part of, we want to get you involved in playing your part in the body. We don't want you just to be sitting there attending and going home again. Partly for our benefit, I'm going to be kind of selfish about it, because we want all that you've got to help the mission and the purpose that God has for us as a church, but also for your benefit, because you grow as you play your part in the body, as you're not static, but you're kind of doing the things God has called you to. And if that's you, if you've come into that category, please ask to meet with me and we can talk about it. And we can say, how can we use the gifts and the passions that God has given you in this church? Because we really, really want to. The blunt truth is that if you are not stepping up and playing your part in this body, the whole body suffers. It goes back to the interconnected thing. Even, dare I say, if you don't attend on a Sunday, and I'm aware there are times we can't attend on Sundays, so I'm not saying you must attend every Sunday of the year. Even I don't do that, and I get paid for this job. So please make it a priority. Make it, because we miss out. I get so sad when I see these people who aren't here. It really, really upsets me. I don't get annoyed, because there's obviously valid reasons, but I get sad because I think, oh, I'm not able to talk to them, I'm not able to see how they are, they're not able to play their part in connecting with people. And so I want us all to kind of, which we are, we do, I know, but increasingly say, actually, these gatherings on Sundays, our midweek groups, our prayer meetings, let's prioritize them, because when I'm not there, people are going to miss out on what I could bring to that gathering. Even if it's just a chat with someone over coffee. I'm not saying it's not all about what happens up here. It's about the other relationships that are going on. As we've been preparing to relaunch in January as a church, which we're doing, if you're not aware of that, with a new name, I've just really been challenged by Ezekiel chapter 37. and stirred that actually this is a time where God wants to mobilize the whole army. So we're changing from body imagery to army imagery, but it's basically the same thing. He wants to mobilize us. He wants to help, encourage each one of us to step up and play our part. So Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 7 to 10, I don't know where that 3 came from, says this. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together. This is kind of a valley of dry bones. And bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come up upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. That is a picture prophetically of the church. It's talking about the people of God in the Old Testament. We can transfer it to the church today. God wants us as a church, as the body, to step up, as it were, to step into the part that he has called us to be, to receive afresh his Holy Spirit so that we can be a great army together. That is the call. Know your part in the body. And secondly, and more briefly, know your value in the body. It's all overlapping, but know your part in the body and know your value in the body. Verses 21 to 26. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. You don't need too much imagination to think about what that's talking about. With our more presentable parts, do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Do not count yourself out. I think I've said it already, but this is another big part of this morning, so I'll say it again. Do not count yourself out. The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, it says. And this was me jumping ahead in my mind earlier when I started talking about lungs and hearts. Yesterday, when I was typing, going back to that point, when I was typing, I only really need 2 fingers because I'm slow type, but my fingers are doing a lot of work here, and they're kind of really visible. And they might be the things you think, actually, they're the ones that are kind of the upfront things because they're visible, they're showy, they're the ones that are kind of producing the stuff, obviously. But actually, at the same time as my fingers were working, my heart and my lungs were working very, very hard. And if they weren't working, the fingers wouldn't be doing much, would they? So there is this thing. Actually, when it talks about the weaker parts, it's talking about probably our internal organs because they're very weak. And they need protecting, like by the rib cage, the heart and the lungs. And if that wasn't there, that would be an issue. And so there is this sense in which the weaker parts might seem weaker, but actually they are absolutely crucial in the human body, the internal organs. And so it is. If you think you're weaker, or for whatever reason, there could be a whole number of things why I say I am a weaker part of the body. If you think that's you, you are indispensable. We are so, so pleased that you're part of this body. But we need you. You're crucial. And actually, I was reading it, I can't remember who it was, by a quote or some stuff by someone who's saying, actually, there is something really modeling the gospel in this. So the weaker parts, actually, Jesus showed that there is victory through weakness. When he died on the cross and rose again, he showed that it's through weakness that great things happen. And so if you come, maybe there's disabilities stuff from the past which you think makes you weak, or there's a kind of, you think you call yourself a less educated person, or whatever you put down as those things. Actually, there is something about coming in weakness which represents Jesus much better than someone who thinks they've got it all together and is the showy person. There's a heart thing here, and God's saying he wants weakness. He wants you to come as you are in all of your weakness, and he can take weakness and he can make it into strength. He can make it into power by the work of his Spirit. He can do extraordinary things through you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, says Paul somewhere in Philippians chapter 4. It's amazing. That's amazing. Paul was in prison. That's weak. I believe this morning God really wants us to help us grasp afresh the dignity and the authority that we have in Christ. You have dignity and you have authority in Jesus. The reason that you can come as a weak part of the body and yet still be strong and still do stuff is because of who you're connected to, because you're connected to the head. This is the gospel. We come in weakness. We come with a messed up life, and yet I get connected to Jesus, the head, and somehow, mysteriously, all that he is becomes mine. I get the benefits of the head in my life because he died on the cross. He took all the rubbish, and in exchange, he gives me his power. He gives me his authority. I am now in Christ. That is a New Testament language which is used again and again. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. The reason Paul uses it again and again is because it is so important. We have to understand our identity. I'm one who is in Christ. Therefore, I have all that I have the riches of Jesus. I have the power of Jesus by his Spirit available to me. The church isn't like a train or a plane or whatever other transport you can think of, where you get standard class and first class seats. Where you get kind of the people who can sit in the first class, they're the special ones, and then the sort of, you know, the bog standard ones at the back. No, we're all first class citizens. We all get the first class seats in church because we're there is that amazing verse somewhere. God has so composed the body, verse 24, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, so that there is no division in the body. In other words, there is now complete equality in the body because those that lacked it, God has said, right, you are now in Christ, you come up here. And those who thought they were great, well, God is humbling them and saying, you're in Christ. So you're all now on the same level. Galatians 3, verse 28 says, there's Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We all share the same value and the same significance in the purposes of God as part of this body. We are connected to the head. That is the key. And so as we end, Jesus is the head. That's really what I want to say at the end. Jesus is the head. It is all about Jesus. So you can go away with hopefully some of that stuff. You might think, oh, I'll try and find my part in the body. I'll remember my value in the body. But what I'd love you to go away with more than anything else is saying, if I'm going to play an effective part in the body, the most important thing is I get well connected to the head, to Jesus. That I delight in Jesus. That I enjoy Jesus. Because the more healthy each one of our relationships is with Jesus, the more healthy the whole body will be. It's this vertical and horizontal thing that happens at the same time. But the priority is get it right with Jesus. So my plea to you is abide in Christ. Dave, if you could come up, that'd be great. Do whatever you find helpful to keep yourself in Jesus, to keep yourself enjoying Jesus. Let's pray. If you want to break it down into points, I guess there are four big points. Firstly, there's no individualism in the body. Some of us might need to be challenged on that kind of individualistic way of thinking. Your destiny, your purpose is in connection with this body, if that's what God's called you to. There's no hierarchy, secondly, in the body. There's no superheroes at the front. We're all in this together. Thirdly, you really need to know your part in the body. What has God called you to? Who are you? Who has he made you to be? And fourthly, God wants to just remind you that you are valuable, even if you don't think you are. He says, you have dignity and authority in Christ. You are connected to the head. It all flows from him. Lord, I thank you for the beauty of your church. We make a mess of it so often, and yet, Lord, you persist. And it's still, it always has been, it still is your purpose for changing this world. And Lord, we want to play our part, Lord. Individually, but also together. We want to be the body of Christ that is an effective, healthy community connected to the head, Lord, reaching out to the world around us, seeing lives transformed, making Jesus known. Lord, that's our heart's desire. So, Lord, increase the health of us, individual parts, and of the body as a whole, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, even as we worship you now, as we respond in prayer for some of us, come and speak to us, come and move in our hearts, Lord.